is your ship and you are the captain. Oh, captain, let's make a deal where we both say the things that we both really feel. I feel scared and I'm starting to sink, and I only sink deeper the deeper I think. Oh, captain, oh, captain, deal. Oh, captain, deal. Oh, captain, deal. Oh, wow. There are red spots under your eyes.
Chapter 35, Demons Among Us. Show me the pendant again, Xiang Qinghua says quietly. The young protagonist obediently pulls the charm out of his robes to show Xiang Qinghua one last time. Xiang Qinghua takes it in hand, feeling the cool, familiar, reassuring hum within this smooth, carved stone, matching the one hanging around Xiang Qinghua's neck perfectly. And he's eventually the one to put it back under his nephew's robes again. He pats Bingha's chest a couple of times, just to make sure this tracking necklace stays in place. Don't lose it, Xiang Qinghua says. If you lose it, you'll be in big trouble, understand? Bingha puts his hand over top of his uncle's and says, Yes, uncle. I'll try to keep it safe while I win the hunt and bring glory to the sect. This 17-year-old speaks with great, nearly exasperated patience for his elder's warnings, but Xiang Qinghua has no patience for that kind of joking condescension today. He pats his nephew on the head with more force than could be called gentle, a sickening heat bubbling in his heart and his lungs. Ha ha, none of that. Not today. Do you know how hard I've been working to make this all happen? No jokes. No games. No one is allowed a sense of humor here until we're all back home again. Especially not any lowly disciples. And especially not you, of all people. Uncle, no glory for you. What do you need glory for, anyway? It's overrated and troublesome. Take it from an overworked peak lord. There's no shame in knowing when to give up and play dead. Uncle, don't play dead, though. It's a very risky move more often than not, and you shouldn't lay yourself out like a free meal. But you know what I mean. You look after your martial siblings and take down some monsters, sure, but don't be a hero. If you see great evil in front of you, as young cultivators, your job is to run away and leave the big stuff for someone else to handle. You keep your head down and stay out of anything that looks like trouble. You stay safe. By the time Xiang Qinghua is finished shaking a finger in his nephew's face, he is breathing heavier than before. His other hand is still on Bingha's chest. His nephew's warm hand is still over his own. Xiang Qinghua can feel his nephew's heartbeat beneath his palm, the charm trapped between them. Bingha's expression has gone from wide-eyed surprise to disappointment. The protagonist sighs, but nods. Yes, uncle. Good, Xiang Qinghua says. Good. That's good. Xiang Qinghua's heartbeat is not nearly so steady. It's beating quickly, fanning the fire between his heart and his lungs that's making his hands sweaty. What has he forgotten? What's left to say? Time is nearly up, the last few pieces of it trickling away, and he almost can't believe just how much of it was frittered away, leaving him with so fucking little of it when it matters. For so long it's been, not yet, not yet, not yet. Not yet has finally become now. Right now. Now. No amount of begging or crying will change that. No amount of pleading or sobbing will change anything. He knows this because he's already tried it on the shitty, no-good system countless times. He's whined, wheedled, and wailed, but it's no good. Shit, Xiang Qinghua mutters. Bingha snorts, and then agreeably offers. Fuck. Ah, who taught you that word? You're too young to know words like that. Bingha laughs. I bet it was that Ning Ying Ying, wasn't it? I knew she was a bad influence on you. As punishment for this behavior, the Immortal Alliance conference is canceled, and we're all going home right now. Uncle, Bingha says again, swallowing his laughter to speak seriously again. It's too late to go home now. I know what to do. If the time comes, when the time comes, I'll go. I'll keep my head down. Then I'll go so that I can come back again. I'm ready for this. It feels as though I've been waiting all my life for something like this. Xiangcheng Hua swallows roughly. Who puts sandpaper in his throat? Yeah, you were kind of made for this moment, he doesn't say to the protagonist. Yeah, the whole fucking world was kind of made for this one moment, he doesn't say to the protagonist. Yeah, he says hoarsely. I'll see you later, huh? The observation tower at the main entrance to the hunting grounds has been made comfortable, but no amount of cushy seats or light refreshments or cooling fans stop Xiangcheng Hua from wanting to leap out the nearest window. He has a nephew to save, a conference to stop, small talk with other sect leaders to desperately avoid. The only thing keeping him from flinging himself over the balcony are the observation screens showing them what's happening in the hunting grounds of Jue Di Gorge. Huanhua Palace Sect has so generously, loudly making sure everyone took note of how generous they were being with their wealth, as fucking usual, provided the conference with a flock of around 400 crystal-eyed eagles, which aren't real birds, but rather expensive devices with special crystals attached that relay images back to the projectors of the observation tower. Roughly 200 of these crystal-eyed eagles will travel along and be powered by a complicated network of spiritual wires already set up over the hunting grounds. This surveillance network is only possible through certain improvements to Zhao Hua Temple Sect's formidable barrier. Someone suggested using actual birds, trained spiritual birds, but still carrying these crystal eyes. But this main event for the disciples is going to be running for 3 days straight, so they shot that idea down. The original hunt was going to run for 7 days. Jue Di Gorge is large enough and deep enough a place for a hunt like that. The rich forest peaks and watery ravines full of twisting secrets and tight corners. But Xiangcheng Hua all but stood up and shouted, "Are you fucking kidding me? I am not putting up with the stress of this shit for 7 days straight." And he wasn't alone in kicking up a fuss about these things, given their security concerns. So they halved it. There are 12 starting points for the participating disciples, all around Jue Di Gorge, and there are thousands of monsters inside the hunting grounds. If the disciples are injured, catch sight of something suspicious, or just scare themselves out of continuing, they can return to one of the starting points or any other barrier watchtowers, or they can find one of the dozen emergency shelters scattered throughout the grounds. Visiting one of the emergency shelters means ending your hunt early. There's no going back out there. But at least they aren't just leaving exhausted or injured disciples in there to potentially just die, like some people suggested. In the real world, there won't be safe places like that on hunts. We need to teach our disciples a lesson about fending for themselves, some famous elder master argued back during the planning phase of this shitty event to end all shitty events. Xiangcheng Hua had to bite his tongue from asking, "Hey, skipping over the existence of inns and shit, quick question. Do you hate your disciples? Honestly, do you just want them to suffer? Genuinely curious, bro." Thankfully, Shen Qingqiu stepped in and said something along the lines of, "Oh, you think it's your place to teach Changchong Mountain's disciples lessons? If you have neglected part of your own disciples' education, I'm sorry to say that we will not be teaching them for you during this event, when there are far greater concerns." Then, that sputtering guy tried to argue that this is how the Immortal Alliance Conference had always operated before when it came to hunts like this, instead of martial tournaments. And so, Shin Ching-Chu was coolly like, "Oh, the series of Immortal Alliance conferences that ended in a disastrous demon attack, including the one which is said to have lost us an entire generation of promising cultivators. The one that caused these great conferences to be canceled for decades until these recent revivals. One should always seek to learn from the examples of the past. Please do tell us more about how that previous conference worked, so we can better avoid their terrible mistakes." It was kind of embarrassing to witness, really. Also, super funny. Ha, that guy turned so red. It's delicious moments like that that momentarily make Shang Qinghua kind of glad that his scariest Shisheng wasn't replaced by Peerless Cucumber at all. Anyway, the projections from the crystals are slightly distorted around the edges, as well as prone to flickers of spiritual interference, but they give the observation towers a pretty good view of the disciples preparing to enter the hunting grounds. The Changchong Mountain sect disciples are still in their assigned hunting groups, scattered across the 12 starting points. If Shang Qinghua squints, he can see Bing He chatting with his fellow disciples. For whatever reason, the Huanhua Palace Master is the one leading the opening ceremonies here, probably because the exceedingly wealthy Huanhua Palace sect is always so damn generous with their donations to events that it makes it really fucking hard to deny them their little requests. Little requests that just so happen to do things, like imply Huanhua Palace sect is the leader among the great sects and of the cultivation world. Why else would old immortal Master Chen be doing the opening speech at an event at which Zhaohua Temple sect is the main host? Besides the fact that Zhaohua Temple sect's leader, Wu Wang, doesn't revel in public speaking the same way this golden-robed and clear-voiced, elegant and eloquent old bastard does. And Wu Wang probably felt it was easier to give in to this little request here in order to deny some other kind of impertinent little request somewhere else. Shang Qinghua isn't really listening to this speech, echoing through the communications set up between the watchtowers. Part of this speech was another rundown on the rules, and also golden bracelets and beads that will determine rankings. But now it's turned into the usual repetitive pontificating on the importance of unity between the sects, in order to show that they aren't afraid of the big bad demons. It kind of fucking burns to hear this from the old man who threw such a "all demons are little bitches who can fuck off" shindig for the last Immortal Alliance conference that it convinced those demon lords to send some people to ruin this one. But whatever. It's whatever. Glancing around the observation tower, Shang Qinghua can see good old Liu Shidi totally not listening at all to this. And then good old Shun Shixiang glaring at the palace master like he wants to choke the man, using his own words. Yue Qingyuan is standing beside Shun Qingchu with the patient, genial, apparently thoughtful expression that Shang Qinghua knows secretly means that Big Bro has totally checked out of listening to this bullshit. He has known Yue Qingyuan for decades now. He's cracked the code of Zhongmen Shixiang's face at least that much. Most of the other sect leaders have expressions similar to at least one of these faces, or are otherwise busy keeping a sharp eye on the observation screens. Sect leader Wu Wang of Zhaohua Temple is even quietly speaking to the cultivator in charge of the Crystal-Eyed Eagle Network. Ah, good thing that the disciples can't see their illustrious leaders right now, huh? Shit, can they? Shang Qinghua knows the barrier watchtowers have some observation screens for their immediate area. If he was working in one of those watchtowers and had a view of the sect leaders lazing around with light refreshments, he'd be so fucking mad. Anyway, it looks like old Master Wu Chun has actually paying attention to the speech covered, glaring at the Huanhua Palace Master on behalf of Zhao Hua Temple, which is a little weird. Not too surprising, though, since Master Wu Chen is a bit of a wanderer with a reputation for honesty and careful consideration. He can probably see right through all of the Palace Master's political bullshit. Bang! Before Shang Cheng Hua really knows it, fireworks have gone off and the event has started. Just like that, the disciples are rushing into the hunting grounds to face horrible monsters. What the fuck? Can't they give a bro a little more warning? His heart feels like it's out of control here. He still hasn't found any demons in disguise. Nothing happens at first. At least, nothing out of the ordinary. Disciples begin to stumble across signs of the monsters, then the monsters themselves, and give chase or get chased. After the first few successful encounters, many of the sect leaders divide their attention, turning towards the snacks and refreshments again. The click-clack of golden beads appearing next to disciples' names on the ranking boards turns into a reliable background noise, which is kind of driving Shang Cheng Hua fucking nuts, but that's fine.
Sect Leader Dong, I don't believe you've placed any bets yet, or have you passed that responsibility to your head disciple now, too?
Sect Leader Yu says dryly, which sparks some laughter and agreeable murmuring about the favorites to win. Gambling is an inevitable part of the Immortal Alliance Conference. Most bets are made with money, but sometimes mere money just isn't good enough for these lofty masters looking to feel alive or just look impressive in front of everyone who's anyone. They bring in shiny spiritual artifacts, recently commissioned or rewarded by some noble, or taken off the corpse of some demon. Which range from, oh, wow, that fire summoning ring is pretty cool, actually, to, wow, this super heavy piece of junk that allegedly glows faintly in the presence of demons is really something that I can't wait to regift to another sect leader at a later date. Shang Cheng Hua honestly feels like he invests enough money and hope into these conferences to begin with. These fuckers aren't getting anything more out of him. They can talk to his disciples if they're so desperate to lose money and other valuables. So he ignores the, behold, a gold-plated piece of shit, grandstanding, and keeps watching the observation screens instead. Inside the observation tower, on lower floors, cultivators, including Anding cultivators, are choosing which crystallite eagles to put through to these projectors on the top floor. The sect leaders can direct this themselves, and some of them are doing exactly that, stepping in to place their hand on a projector when something catches their eye. But having to do everything themselves would probably interfere with certain other sect leaders' usual cultivation conference day drinking and gambling in the spirit of friendly competition. Everything's normal here so long as everyone acts like nothing is wrong, right? Haha, that's definitely how it works. Anyway, the observation screens are constantly flickering from views of still, peaceful forest in order to follow the inevitable action. Sometimes the disciples are so far below the eagles that they just look like colorful dots. It's not very exciting, honestly. But it's still teeth-grindingly nerve-wracking.
Calm down,
Liu Qingge says. Shang Cheng Hua jumps a little at the Baichan war god's sudden appearance. Ah, he supposes that his brother-in-law has never cared much for the vices happening over there, huh? Even before he became a responsible married man, these things were just too slow-working when it comes to self-destructiveness for good old Liu Shidi, huh? I'm calm, Shang Cheng Hua insists. Haha, what are you talking about? Liu Qingge reaches over and forcibly undoes the death grip Shang Cheng Hua apparently had on the conference scheduling papers he was holding. Holy shit, those have been crushed beyond smoothing out now. Also, Shang Cheng Hua's fingers and wrist crack slightly as he stretches them.
Calm down.
Liu Qingge repeats,
going into a chi deviation now isn't going to help.
Huh? Zhang Qinghua says. Oh, fuck. This is what I've come to, he thinks, despairingly. Liu Shidi, this bro of all bros, is telling me to calm down and telling jokes about chi deviations. Wow, that's really something. I don't like it. On the observation screen, Bingha efficiently takes down some feathered, dog-sized, lizard-like demon, then adds the golden bead he pulls from its body to his bracelet. He signals his lack of injury to another Chang Chang disciple, who comes over, followed by another in their group. Bingha is gesturing between the monster's body and the nearby stream, apparently trying to convince them of something.
Those creatures always travel in groups,
Liu Qinghua says.
There may be more.
Ah, depends on how many of them we brought here, unless they're one of the ones native to Juedi Gorge. Some of Tong Shimei's people had to go around with golden beads. I remember them complaining about the local lizards. Or was it demon crabs? Zhang Qinghua tries to smooth out the papers he's holding, even though it's a lost cause. Peerless Cucumber wrote him some notes on the list of monsters. He has that, somewhere? He forces himself to take his hand off the crystal projector, which switches over to a Boshan Tower disciple who stumbled onto a hissing felinish thing with 9 tails and 9 heads. If he stares at one Qingjing Peak disciple this whole time, people will totally notice. And he can't fucking do that with a contingent of gold-robed masters nearby, congratulating their sect leader on his magnificent speech. Liu Qinghua comments on this new fight, while Zhang Qinghua's distracted gaze flickers over the other observation screens. When will it not be weird to check on his nephew again? 10 minutes? 5 minutes? He's counting down the seconds.
Master Shen, what will you bet? Someone calls out a little later.
Before he turns around, Zhang Qinghua mentally and emotionally steadies himself to potentially see his scariest Shishyang casually tear someone's head off. Thankfully, Shen Qingqiu is restraining himself. He's just looking at this person who probably thinks they're important, like he wishes he could scrape them off the shoe of his life.
How do the sharp eyes of Changchong Mountain's young master tactician see this event ending?
This G.U.N. Mesa master repeats, with a good-humored challenge that has several people around them looking curious.
What will Master Shen bet?
Shen Qingqiu taps his closed fan against his other hand.
1,000 spirit stones.
What? 1,000? The G.U.N. Mesa master repeats, as a delighted and intrigued murmur goes around the observation tower. In one bet? Such confidence that this generation has. On what result?
That this event will be interrupted by a demon attack.
Shen Qingqiu answers coldly.
Ah.
The people surrounding them look shocked, horrified, ashamed, or even amused. Shen Qingqiu pays attention to none of them as he returns to watching the observation screens. Yue Qingyuan, sitting beside Shen Qingqiu, more politely says,
We would prefer not to be distracted from the possibility of an attack at this time.
Very smooth, very diplomatic, but the man goes back to looking at Shen Qingqiu in a way that Zhang Qinghua is 100% sure means, Wow, I think it's just so cool when you totally kill the mood like that, bro. I really like that about you.
I believe that I have yet to officially place my own bets.
The Huanhua Palace Master suddenly announces to them all, clearly trying to lighten the mood again. He then places ridiculously large bets on his own daughter and a few other more senior Huanhua Palace sect disciples, including Gong Yi Xiao.
A master must show some faith in his own disciples, especially in these trying times.
A nervous chuckle goes around the room.
Does the palace master have a favorite among them?
Someone asks. The palace master remarks on how the young and handsome Gong Yi Xiao seems promising, then sighs dramatically.
When one has as many important affairs in the day as myself, however one might wish, it leaves little time to spend with these young ones. One might as well wish to be so young again, he adds, to another round of indulgent chuckling.
The push-pull of sect politics continues. Like that, for over 2 hours. Shang Ching Hua doesn't remember much of it. He kind of wishes that Shun Qingqiu would just tear someone's head off already. Yue Qingyuan would probably let the man get away with it. At some point, someone grumbles about the way that Changchong Mountain Sect disciples are traveling in loose groups and regularly checking in with each other, kind of implying that Changchong Mountain Sect is full of cowards who can't do anything alone. Qi Qingqi quips back something that basically amounts to saying,
"Oh, I'm sorry to hear that you have no friends and no one likes you."
Way politer than that, but that's what Shang Qing Hua got from it. It was so nicely delivered that even Shun Qingqiu cracked an approving smile before hiding it behind his fan. If anything else remotely interesting happens, it flies out of Shang Qing Hua's head right away when the Huanhua Palace Master spots Luo Bingha. Memories deleted to make room for panic. The Huanhua Palace sect party has taken control of the crystal projector in order to flip through the top 100 ranking disciples. And Shang Qing Hua hears the old man sharply say, "Stop!" Luo Bingha is on the screen, kicking off a tree in order to come down on top of some demonic creature's head, then helping up a pair of Huanhua Palace sect disciples before he even bothers to go for the golden bead. Such a good boy. But if Shang Qing Hua wasn't already planning to kick his nephew's ass out and send him into the demon realm here, the look on the palace master's face is enough to make him want to reach for the cool charm hidden on his person right fucking now. Yep, it's time to go. Time to fucking go. Off to the comparable safety of the demon realm. One of the palace master's entourage is telling their sect leader Bingha's name and commenting on his steady, yet not particularly remarkable, stream of golden beads thus far. But the palace master just keeps looking like he's seen a ghost.
"Oh, now I'm sweating even more," Shang Qing Hua thinks. "That's just great."
This is why he told his nephew to stay the fuck away from Huanhua Palace sect and everyone who belonged to it. That, and also because he was jokingly but not jokingly concerned that a young, righteous, and not at all forgetful protagonist might try to kill the palace master or something, given the way Bingha's face twisted in anger when Shang Qing Hua warned him off going anywhere near the man responsible for the imprisonment and death of both of his parents. If Bingha wants to kill the Huanhua Palace Master when he's older, then that's fine. Shang Qing Hua will totally cheer him on if he wants to do that. But only when he's older. Don't nephews have to be at least 20-something before they try to off their first sect leader?
"See what you can find out about this one," the old Palace Master murmurs.
Actually, now Shang Qing Hua is kind of tempted to off a sect leader right here. He's more than old enough for it. He could really stand to let off some steam, couldn't he? This observation tower has a lot of stairs for an old man to fall down if he's not careful. It'll be very tragic, sure, but Huanhua Palace sect could at least save face by pretending that the old man died fighting demons in the attack that's definitely going to happen, which Shang Qing Hua thinks is super considerate as far as assassinations go.
Shang Shixiang.
What? Tang Qingling, Lord of Xichao Peak, Changchong Mountain Sect's master of beasts and butchers, is approaching them with a deep scowl.
"There are human-headed spiders in the hunting grounds," she says, "and at least one vengeful hair demon. Those weren't on the list we approved. I didn't see them brought in."
"What, shit, really?"
"There's a desire-eating shadow serpent in the lake on the eastern side," says Yue Qingming, Lord of Longsheng Peak, stepping out from fucking nowhere. Xiaohua Temple wants to know if we brought it and forgot to mention it.
Disciples shouldn't be fighting that,
Liu Qingge says.
It takes at least 4 masters.
That's what I said. Xue Qingming says, didn't you fight one by yourself once? Tang Qingling asks with a frown. Who cares about that? What are you telling me about this for? Go tell this stuff to Chengmen Shixiang, Shang Qinghua says. But then he looks. Ah, Qi Qingqi and Wei Qingwei are already talking to Yue Qingyuan and Shen Qingqiu, and the conversation doesn't look like it's full of good, non-urgent news. A distant rumble interrupts whatever Shang Qinghua planned on doing next, like a heavy roll of thunder, despite the fact that the day is bright. Shang Qinghua looks past the fizzling observation screens around the tower's top floor, out over Juedi Gorge itself, to the farthest side, where Xiaohua Temple's formidable barrier has gained some swirling, clouded spots of light that look small from this distance. Shang Qinghua sees that section of the barrier suddenly splashes white, turning nearly opaque for a moment, rippling like water after a thrown stone. Or like water that just threw the thrown stone back? A second rumble immediately follows, and the air trembles with this sound like thunder. Then comes another violent white splash and a third rumble. Huh, that kind of sounds like someone knocking, Shang Qinghua thinks. Just in time for the barrier to flare white, a fourth rumble rolling through the hunting grounds, sending a thick cloud of black smoke billowing upwards. Shang Qinghua turns around to see that Wei Qingwei has taken over the nearest projector, flipping between crystal-eyed eagles as the interference fades away. Some are just totally black screens now, which really, really isn't reassuring. Landing on an image of a forest covered in dancing white flames, there's a blackened pile of stone that apparently used to be one of those fancy new barrier watchtowers Xiaohua Temple sect spent so much time building. Something is climbing out of the wreckage. At first glance, it's a beast with dark silver stripes over white fur, but it quickly becomes apparent that it's someone wearing the skin of a giant snowy sword-toothed tiger, its empty-eyed head resting atop their own head. It's a muscular woman with striped arms and a white demon mark burning on her forehead. She's holding a curved sword that's still smoking black in one hand, and in her other hand are the remains of the watchtower's communication devices, which she holds up like a heart ripped from an enemy's chest.
Holy shit! That's Shi Fengjun!
Shang Qinghua whispers. The Western Demon King looks directly at the crystal-eyed eagle and lifts her smoking sword. There are large white shapes moving behind her, half hidden by the black smoke, but they're clearly monstrous, whatever they are.
Fan Yuchen, she bellows, I will have your head!
Like many others, Shang Qinghua's head whips around to look at Fan Yuchen, hero and honored guest of Tianyi Overlook sect. Like many others here, Fan Yuchen and Ding Lanfen have both turned deathly pale at the sight of this vengeful demon.
Character profile updated. Shifeng Jun, the Western Demon King.
Shang Qinghua knew that the Bai clan, among other important demon clans, had promised to contribute to this attack somehow, but he was expecting them to donate some really horrible monsters and maybe some decent minions as hit-and-run representatives. The Western Demon King wasn't supposed to show up personally. The most powerful demon supposed to come anywhere near this Immortal Alliance conference is Mo Bei Jun, as his father's representative, which makes a little more sense. Mo Bei Jun's special powers mean he can come and go as he pleases, maybe without even being seen, so there's some potential, fuck you, you can't prove it was me, plausible deniability, if the human realm tries to start pointing fingers.
Shifun Jun showing up like this isn't nearly so subtle. It's also very, very, very bad. She's way too OP for this plotline. This is way too early in the story for her. It's possible that she's nearly as powerful, or as powerful, as the Northern Demon King himself. And it's indirectly Shang Ching Hua's fault that she's here for revenge. A painfully high-pitched sound breaks Shang Ching Hua's personal, "Oh, holy shit, what have done?" panic session. The masters in the observation tower look around before someone points up, and a red fireball collides with the top of the barrier, where some might argue the barrier is weakest. There is a massive, spectacular explosion, like 100 fireworks going off at once as the fireball strikes the barrier. Pieces of the red fireball fall through the chaos, resembling dying embers, until the largest of them spreads. Oh no. The largest of them spreads what looks like wings. All of the pieces of the red fireball spread wings, wheeling through the air into a flock, still trailing flames as they follow their leader. Shang Ching Hua can't breathe watching them. Luckily, Wei Ching Wei has breath enough to curse. The one Jian Peak Lord rips open the panel of a second crystal projector and somehow makes one of the crystallized eagles flip over to face the sky and then break away from the network of spiritual wires. The crystallized eagle shoots upward, chasing to meet the flock of red fire. The observation screen shows them the image of a tall woman with flaming wings on her back, fiery red hair and many braids, and a burning red demon mark on her forehead. She's holding a massive bow, a flaming arrow already nocked, and the crystallized eagle goes up in red fire before the observation screen turns black.
Jian Jun, sect leader Wu Wang says hoarsely.
Character profile updated. Jian Jun, the Southern Demon King.
Since when do the Western Demon King and the Southern Demon King get along? Shang Ching Hua doesn't know. Also, what the fuck is the Southern Demon King doing here in person too? Isn't she supposed to be waiting for the protagonist to come knocking at her door? Wasn't she involved in getting the Immortal Alliance conferences canceled last time? Shang Ching Hua would totally be sobbing right now if he could only breathe. Why aren't these super OP demonesses content to wait for their plot lines? Patience is a virtue.
Sound the alarm, Yue Qingyuan orders, with no room for disagreement.
No one disagrees with him.
Sect leader Wu Wang nods, and a Zhao Hua temple sect cultivator goes running down the steps, just as a different Zhao Hua temple sect cultivator, one of the people in charge of the now flickering network of golden-eyed eagles, comes running up the steps of the observation tower, lunging for the nearest projector.
Masters, the man cries, struggling to bring up the correct image. Immortal masters, look, in the lake, there's something in the eastern lake.
Shang Ching Hua doesn't fucking want to look, but he looks anyway.
The alarm is sounded, a heavy drumbeat echoing through Jue Di Gorge, and flares go up. The emergency shelters scattered across the hunting grounds light their signals and send up their own flares. Even the golden bracelets around the wrists of every disciple should now be turning warm and glowing with warning. This third commandeered observation screen shows them a long, slimy-looking monster in the lake, so massive that it's eating the desire-eating shadow serpent that they used to be worried about not so long ago. It's slurping that thing up like it's a fucking noodle. It looks a lot like a fat eel with legs. All sorts of demonic beasts are scuttling or wriggling out of the lake, away from this thing. And Shang Ching Hua is certain that they absolutely did not bring half of the demonic beasts he's seeing there. Did that monster chase them here? Did people just not check the fucking lake for all these things?
We think it somehow came in through one of the underground rivers,
the Xiaohua Temple Sect cultivator says helplessly, now collapsed on the floor beside the projector. There's a person standing on its head, a demon. If Shang Qinghua squints, he can see someone on the fat eel monster's head. It helps that the fat eel monster finishes slurping down the other monster and struggles through the lake, closer to the crystallized eagle, to let the demon down. The man is soaking wet, wearing green and blue robes, holding a harpoon-like weapon on a chain, and the demon mark on his forehead burns black. All the demonic beasts this guy has brought with him struggling out of the lake, giving him a wide berth.
Yang Menjun,
Shen Qingqiu identifies,
the Eastern Demon King.
Character profile updated. Yang Menjun, the Eastern Demon King.
That said, the Lord of Qingjing Peak walks to the nearest projector and puts a hand on the crystal, flipping through the available crystallite eagles until he lands on what he's looking for. The observation screen shows them a towering dark gash torn in the air itself, cold winds blasting through, immediately freezing the ground and the plants all around it. Great demonic beasts with enormous horns and fangs are trampling through the gash, a whole pack of them, leaving more ice in their wake. Shang Qinghua's heart kind of feels like it's freezing over, too, right now. The demonic beasts are followed by a tall demonic figure, dressed all in black, a striking contrast to the snow-white hair whipping around him. He's holding a silver spear, the head of it made of a dark crystal that gleams ominously. The sharp tip of the weapon cuts small black gashes in the air just as he walks, most of which heal again quickly, but still make a powerful statement. Shang Qinghua doesn't miss the similarity to Xia Hualing's fancy spear when she invaded Changchang Mountain Sect, which is still resting in Wei Qingwei's personal workshop. This looks like the perfected version. The demon turns his face up towards the crystallized eagle. His demon mark burns blue. The face is handsome, if aged, with the snow-white hair making this old demon look even older. But Shang Qinghua can't not see the family resemblance.
Mo Bei Jun,
Shen Qingqiu says, taking his hand off the crystal again and turning to face the sect leaders, shocked into silence.
Character profile updated. Mo Bei Jun, the Northern Demon King.
The Northern Demon King's line is the oldest of all living demon lines, and with the fall of the heavenly demons, he's probably the most powerful of all demon kings. The ancestral power, passed from generation to generation, has gone unbroken for longer than anyone can remember. Shang Qinghua asked his own ice demon how long his family had ruled the northern kingdoms as the icy monster among icy monsters. And the man's best and most alarming answer was,
since before the time of humans.
This wasn't in the plan, Shang Qinghua thinks. This wasn't in the plot either. What happened to him sending my Mo Bei Jun as his representative? What happened to his failing health? I'm not ready to meet any potential in-laws. I never actually wanted to meet my Mo Bei Jun's shitty father. System, bro?
Mission stage complete. The Demonic Alliance Invasion, Part 2, Demons Among Us. Mission objective, search for the demons invading the Immortal Alliance Conference. Beginning next mission stage. The Demonic Alliance Invasion, Part 3, The King of Kings. Mission objective, find Luo Binghe and see him exit the Immortal Alliance Conference.
Shang Qinghua stares at the pop-up window. No one is paying attention to him right now, after all. System, bro, I don't know how, but someday, somehow, I will fucking kill you. Shang Ching Hua thinks helplessly. I will hold your power button with a vengeance when I finally find it, bro. You're dead to me. I really fucking mean it this time. Of course, the disaster doesn't stop there. As Shen Qingqiu searched for Mo Beijun, head disciple Yu Yanyan of Haimun Pier Sect took command of a projector to check on their disciples, only for the observation screen to show some Haimun Pier Sect disciples ripping off their faces to reveal the green demon marks of the Shun clan. If anyone is opening their mouth to deliver a heroic speech or a scream, it's interrupted by head disciple Yu Yanyan suddenly whirling around and punching her own sect leader in the face. She screams, I knew you made a deal with the Shung Saintess against the Yan clan, you lying bastard! But that hot fucking mess of how some of the lesser demons broke in is interrupted by Lian He sect leader, Niu Meiyi, shouting about how boxes of demonic beasts are bursting open across the hunting grounds, like someone left them on a fucking timer. Looking out the window, a person can see thick clouds of demonic energy flaring up. The sky above Jue Di Gorge is a mess of smoke, heavy drum beats, and signal lights from emergency shelters. If Shang Ching Hua strains his ears, he could swear he hears screaming. The barrier is holding, somehow. Even the point where Shifeng Jun broke in, while clearly weakened without the watchtower to anchor it, has sealed again. If they let the barrier down to let all of the disciples out, they'll let out so many monsters onto the countryside. If the nearest cities survive having that many monsters released on them, they will never forgive the cultivation sects again. And Anding Peak disciples on trade missions will probably be able to expect being enthusiastically stoned to death if they come anywhere near Jue Di Gorge ever again. Everyone remembers how I said we should definitely just cancel this event, right? Shang Ching Hua says hoarsely, even though he's not speaking loud enough for anyone besides Liu Qingge to hear him right now. I said that. Everyone should remember that I said that.
Shut up,
Liu Qingge says, but his face is pale. No one was expecting 4 demon kings here today. At absolute worst, they were expecting a couple of princes, maybe. Lordlings, not lords. Monsters and minions, not monarchs. Mo Beijun was supposed to be his lazy, no-good, absent father's representative, and only because the other man wanted to outshine the other demon clans. The other, older Mo Beijun wasn't supposed to show up in person. Why have they switched? Did they switch? Where's the right Mo Beijun? 4 demon kings is... It's pretty much outright war, isn't it? It's definitely outright war. Shang Ching Hua has no idea how else the cultivation sects of the human realm are supposed to respond to an attack like this. If the world doesn't end today, there's going to be a lot of angry shouting later, at the least.
I will face Shifeng Jun, Fan Yuchen declares, stepping forward. She's here for my head. She will have to take my sword first.
And mine, Ding Lunfen says, stepping forward with him.
The sect leader of Tian Yi Overlook steps forward and promises,
Tian Yi Overlook will lend our support to our former disciple in this endeavor.
They immediately turn around to the masters behind them, making orders to gather certain warriors from their sect.
Liu Shidi, Yue Qingyuan says, go with them.
Liu Qingge salutes their sect leader.
Honored sect leaders, Fan Yuchen objects. This fight is not your fight alone,
Yue Qingyuan interrupts, raising his voice so that it encircles the entire room. And wow, Big Bro really does sound like the most powerful, respected, and admired cultivator in the world today. It's kind of incredibly reassuring when the world has suddenly burst into flames.
Shifeng Jun attacked the Immortal Alliance Conference.
All of us have disciples on the hunting grounds. There is no room for personal guilt, glory, or feuds here.
He turns on Qi Qingqi and Wang Qingjia next.
Qi Shimei and Wang Shidi will take down Qian Jun. Choose our cultivators for this battle as you see fit to down her followers.
He looks to one side and adds,
Huanhua Palace sect is known for their military prowess and has masters who specialize in aerial combat. We would welcome their assistance in this matter.
We shall, of course, offer our best, the palace master answers.
Yue Qingyuan nods.
Wei Shidi, Tang Shimei, and Xue Shidi will take down Yang Menjun and his burrowing eel dragon and other beasts, with the assistance from Lian He Dam and Wan Ting Wall, if they will give it. Mu Shidi will lead our support for the injured. The others, the majority of all of our cultivators, will focus on ensuring that our disciples are secure in the emergency shelters and securing Zhao Hua Temple's watchtowers, where the goal shall be to withstand attack at these points until help comes, rather than give chase. If the barrier falls, these monsters will be released into the countryside, where they will rampage freely on the common people.
And Mo Bei Jun, someone calls out, because it has not gone unnoticed that Yue Qingyuan has not called for anyone to face down the most powerful demon out of them all out there. How could Changchong Mountain sect leader just forget about the Northern Demon King?
Yue Qingyuan looks at this person and says simply,
I will take the north.
And, who can really argue with that? Who can argue with the guy who finally took down Tian Langjun when he was a mere disciple? None of the sect leaders here object to this plan. If Yue Qingyuan says that he'll face the Northern Demon King himself, then the best and only thing to do is get the fuck out of his way.
Last but not least, Yue Qingyuan looks towards Shun Qingqiu.
Shun Shidi will direct us all, he says. The shelters and watchtowers will deliver his orders through the communication system as it holds. Shang Shidi will assist him.
Shang Qinghua salutes, but it looks like absolute shit next to Shun Qingqiu's graceful salute. Shun Qingqiu's expression is strange. Shang Qinghua is kind of expecting Shun Qingqiu to be pissed off that Yue Qingyuan is kind of transparently keeping him out of the fight here, forcing him to deal with Huanhua Palace Master and all these other picky or angry sect leaders, but the most powerful cultivator in the world directly handing you control of all the sects is, well, that's a hell of a compliment. That's a lot of trust to show in front of the world, isn't it? Shun Qingqiu's gaze flicks downwards, towards Yue Qingyuan's swords. The famous Xuan Su sword has gained a companion in the past couple years, a second blade that was clearly personally commissioned for Yue Qingyuan with an elegant green tassel. Shang Qinghua has, never bothered to ask where it came from. It's pretty obvious. Yue Qingyuan's hand lands on this second sword, rather than Xuan Su. And then this strange moment drops away, and Shun Qingqiu is snapping out orders at the other sect leaders. Well, they're phrased like suggestions and requests for assistance, but they're really orders. No one dares to disagree with him. Not even the Huanhua Palace Master and his entourage object as Shun Qingqiu tells them how to divide their forces across the shelters and watchtowers. This is an emergency. Lives are on the line. And to disrespect the Lord of Qingjing Peak now is to disrespect all of Changchong Mountain Sect, especially Yue Qingyuan. So when Shun Qingqiu snaps to jump, people start jumping. Shang Qinghua jumps away to grab Liu Qingge's arm before the Baichan war god can fly off after Fan Yuchen and Ding Lanfen and some Tianyi Overlook Sect masters. He yanks his brother-in-law down to whisper some important information in his ear. Liu Qingge stiffens to hear this secret.
What?
Xi Fengjun has no heirs, Shang Qinghua hisses in explanation. If proud immortal demon Wei is worth fucking anything at this point, then she might back off if she finds out that she has a secret niece.
That could make her angrier,
Liu Qingge hisses back. Ah, shit. Her anger could maybe be redirected toward the Northern King as a last resort. He cleared the Wei for Fan Yuchen to kill her brother because he hated her father.
Liu Qingge blinks, then looks thoughtful.
As a last resort, Shang Qinghua says, if you need it. This conference has gone to shit in ways that he really wasn't expecting, and he has no fucking clue what's going to happen next. Luo Binghe is out there somewhere on the hunting grounds. Luo Fanli is manning one of the emergency shelters. Liu Qingge is going to fight the Western Demon King, and Shang Qinghua doesn't know what the fuck he'll be able to tell Luo Jiahui if her husband doesn't make it home. He doesn't want to have to do that.
I won't,
Liu Qingge says, but he still looks thoughtful. Of course, you're too tough to need tricks like that, huh? Liu Qingge rolls his eyes, then grabs Shang Qinghua's arm in return and leans back in.
Make the call, he says quietly. Get him out of here.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. There are thousands of monsters out there, at least 4 super OP demons, and thousands of cultivators rushing forward to meet them. Yeah, it's time for Luo Binghe to go now. This gentle beginnings part of the protagonist's story is officially over. Liu Qingge squeezes Shang Qinghua's arm, then rushes off and leaps off the observation tower, landing on his sword in midair and taking off towards the west. Shang Qinghua can already see Qi Qingqi and Wang Qingjia winging their way south, where he thinks Luo Fanli is stationed and probably ready to launch into the air with them. He can also see some of his other martial siblings heading east towards the lake, led by sect leader Niu Meiyi of Lianhe Dam. Lastly, Yue Qingyuan walks past Shang Qinghua. The man even claps a hand on his shoulder as he goes by, before he takes off towards the north, alone. Shun Qingqiu doesn't watch the man go, focused instead on dividing the sects between where they're needed and stabilizing the observation screens and communication systems. He steps over the unconscious, former, at this point, probably, sect leader of Haimun Pier, and says,
Someone tie that fool up already.
This isn't even over yet, and Shang Qinghua winces at the thought of the cleanup later.
Shang Qinghua,
Shen Qingqiu barks,
Get over here.
Yes, I'm coming.